105. Marcus. Marcus had been on his way to find her, to tell her that she needed to remain in Celandriel and to make arrangements with Valerius to hide her away with her mother, to keep her safe.
Lydia was my best friend.
The pain in Tariana's voice was like a knife to his heart, and he wanted to fall to his knees, to beg her forgiveness, though he didn't deserve it, to hand her a knife and tell her to kill him herself if that was what she wanted. She deserved the truth.
Marcus.
And if it were only him who would suffer for it, he would confess everything, would walk to the gallows and allow them to string him up for murder, because he deserved it. But his family would also pay the price for what he'd done. Valerius would use the information against Cassius, and the consul would take the loss of his power out on Marcus's family. He felt her tense, knew he'd been silent too long, but neither truth nor lie would come to his lips, so he said, "I knew her when I was a small child. I used to play with her in her father's library. She was," he trailed off, faded memory washing over him of a dark-haired girl who sat patiently with him while he gasped and wheezed, who'd held his hand and told him that he'd be all right. She was kind.
Yes.
Tears rolled down Tariana's cheeks.
Did he hurt her?
He was using her to gain Valerius's support in the elections. I know that much. There was an edge to Tariana's voice, as though she knew he was stalling.
I'm asking if Cassius had her killed, Marcus. If you know anything, you owe me the truth of it.
He owed her everything. The truth, most of all. Except giving it to her wouldn't bring Lydia back from the dead, but it would condemn the living. And while some of them didn't deserve his protection, his younger sisters did. The unborn child in Cordelia's belly did. I don't know. The lie slipped off his lips. Cassius only told me the things I needed to know. He doesn't trust me.
So you weren't involved?
He could hear the hope in her voice, the silent plea. I didn't order her assassination, if that's what you are asking. I did it myself.
If you'd known something, it might have been enough to strip him from power. Maybe have him executed.
A tear ran down her dark cheeks, glistening in the moonlight.
But as always, he wins.
Without thinking, Marcus closed the distance between them, pulling her against his chest. Her shoulders shook as she cried, but still she wrapped her arms around his neck. End it. Tell her she needs to stay in Celandriel, that you'll deal with finding the path and then free the Quincents. Except what he really wanted to tell her was that he loved her. Tariana. Shouts from his family's home filtered through the gardens, and he turned, unease rising in his chest. And then a woman screamed. Get back to Valerius's villa, he said. Tell Ostornik and his men that something's wrong. To be ready.
What's going on?
She demanded, but Marcus only caught hold of her waist, lifting her up the wall. Go. Another scream cut the night, desperate and terrified. Trusting Tariana to take care of herself, he sprinted back through the gardens, knife in hand. Only once he was close did he slow, crouching low as he made his way toward the rear of the home. Inside, his mother was on her knees, a man he knew to be one of the 29th holding her by the hair, a knife to her throat. His brother and father, as well as Tiberius, were bound at the wrists, and another man was holding Cordelia down on the floor, his sister violently struggling. They wore civilian clothing, nothing about them, not even their blades, suggesting this was a legion kill. Where is he? One of them growled, and Marcus recognized his voice. Carmo, the 29th's primus and Hostus's favored man for dirty work. He was Atlian by birth and nearly as big as Servius.
Give him up, and we'll let you go unharmed.
His mother lifted her chin, expression defiant.
I don't know where he went.
How sweet, Carmo crooned. A mother protecting her son to the bitter end.
When she blanched, he laughed.
Yes, love, we know. And you should know that there isn't anyone alive the 29th hates like your little prick of a son. He embarrassed us to achieve his own ends, and we've long awaited this opportunity to see him dead.
Just tell him, Marcus silently willed her, even though he knew that Carmo had no intention of leaving any of them alive. But instead, his mother spit at Carmo's feet.
If you know who he is, then you know I'll die before giving him up. So get on with it.
Silence.
From my experience, mothers can be difficult to break.
Carmo finally said to his men,
there's really only one way to do it, and that's to make them choose between their children. Kill the pregnant one. Slowly. Tell him.
If they came after him first, he could better ambush them in the dark. A sob tore from his mother's lips. Then she said,
don't hurt her. Marcus is in the gardens.
Kill everyone but the pregnant one, Carmo said. We might have need of her yet.
The man holding the knife to his mother's throat started to smile, but the expression fell away as he looked down to see Marcus's knife embedded in his chest. He staggered backward, clutching the hilt. But Marcus was already moving on his next target. Sliding across the tiled floor, he caught hold of the man's fallen knife, lifting it in time to deflect a downward blow from the third man. He kicked him in the kneecap, breaking his leg. The man hissed in pain, but that didn't stop him from tackling Marcus against the tile. They rolled, crashing into furniture, glassware shattering around them. Dimly, he heard his mother screaming, knew that Carmo could be taking the opportunity to kill her, to kill Cordelia. Panic flooded through him, and Marcus slammed his knee down on the man's broken leg. He screamed, but instead of trying to pull away, the man took advantage of the position and twisted, his arm going around Marcus's neck. He gasped for breath, clawing at the man's arm, kicking his broken leg. But even as he did, his eyes latched on Carmo, who had his sister on her knees, a knife to her stomach. Tiberius was trying to crawl on his bound wrists, pleading she be spared, offering any amount of gold for her safety. But Carmo only kicked him in the face before turning his gaze back to Marcus.
Hostis wanted to do it himself. In his honor, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to make you watch while I kill every last one of these useless patrician sots. I'm going to...
His mother flung herself at Carmo. Snarling, he backhanded her with his knife hand, sending her toppling into a table, but Cordelia took advantage, twisting in his grip and sinking her teeth into his wrist. Carmo cursed, slicing at her with his knife. Blood blossomed along her ribcage. White, hot fury boiled up inside Marcus, and he slammed his head back, feeling the nose of the man holding him shatter. Snatching up a fallen knife, he shoved it between the man's ribs and then flung himself at Carmo. His shoulder took the primus in the stomach and sent him falling backward into a potted plant. Screams filled the air, but he ignored them, catching Carmo's wrist to keep him from stabbing him in the throat. They rolled, knocking into tables, a marble statue falling and missing Marcus's face by a hair's breadth. Catching hold of it, he slammed it against Carmo's arm, hearing the crack. But the primus only grinned with bloodied teeth and knocked it out of Marcus's grip.
While you stand behind lines, the rest of us have been fighting, boy. Pain is an old friend.
He rested his broken arm against Marcus's throat and leaned.
Go to sleep, Legatus. And when you wake, the fun will begin.
His vision darkened, stars bursting across his eyes as he fought against the bigger man. Too many people depended on him for him to die. Too many lives were at stake. But Carmo was so much stronger. Then pottery exploded, raining shards and dust down into Marcus's face, and his sister's voice howling,
kill him!
Coughing, he kneed Carmo in the balls. The primus screamed and reared backward, and Marcus rolled out from under him. Grabbing the statue, he twisted and slammed it into Carmo's face, hearing bones shatter. Blubbering and screaming, Carmo fell on his back and tried to crawl away, but Marcus was on him. He struck him again with the statue. Then again, his fury blinding him from all sight, all sound, all reason. He beat him with the heavy marble, blood splattering him in the face, Carmo's skull shattering and then turning to pulp. But he couldn't seem to stop. Then a hand caught his arm, wrenching backward, and a voice, full of authority, said,
stand down!
Jerking free, Marcus raised the weapon, ready to fight the new attacker, only to find Commandant Wex staring down at him.
They're dead, his mentor said. But Cassius has ordered your assassination.
You need to get back to the 37th, and you need to leave tonight.